PFT Media.
Welcome to the Crespo Go.
Cowbell, Chris. Oh, why am I so fuzzy? I sound fuzzy.
You sound fine to me. Check one, two.
Okay, I guess it's just these crappy headphones.
Do the headphones sound fuzzy?
A little fuzzy.
Is
a little
that,
fuzzy.
That thing, check the connector on this thing.
A little fuzzy.
Check one, two. Check one, two. Does that fix that all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not really.
It doesn't matter. The fuck do I care?
Welcome to I care. It's the guests end up using those headphones and often, and it can't be a good podcast experience for them if they are hearing fuzz. So I gotta
that hot fuzz.
The hot fuzz. No, but if they're hearing hot fuzz, then yeah, I'm just pumping in audio from the movie Hot Fuzz into their earphones while we're trying to do the show. Hot fuzz. Welcome to Crespo. This is your host Chris Crespo. We're doing a spoiler bonus episode on The Predator. Just came out. Shane Black, written and directed by : You take that sentence and rearrange it to make the sentence that you want to make.
: is right.
Here we go. The Predator. We saw all the spoilers. We're talking about everything. Here we go. Starting from the begin, the very begin.
Autistic kid.
Of the show means I have to introduce Drew. Hey, Drew.
There's an autistic kid who's the hero of the movie, Chris.
Asperger's kid.
Asperger's.
He has Asperger's. Rory McKenna, played by Jacob Tremblay from Room. Not The Room, just
Room.
Room. Yes, but before that, the movie does start with an immediate and direct homage to the original Predator. A few of these in this movie.
All of it, yeah.
The movie starts with a spaceship.
Yep. And space battle. Very Star Wars-like.
Just like the very first one. Yeah, but this one's an actual space battle. It's one coming after another one. It's like, pew, pew. And when that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is supposed to be a big budget, like, summer blockbuster version of a Predator movie.
So fuzzy.
Oh, well, then, you know what? Why don't you just swap? All right, you're good?
Yep,
fuzz good. Is gone?
Fuzz is gone.
No so, the ship, pew, 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 pew. Yeah, over $100 million, $150 million budget, something like that.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous budget. They probably gave him too much money.
Yes.
To be fair.
Correct.
But hey, you know what? It works out for us because we got a big budget Predator movie.
We got a weird big budget Predator movie.
It is a strange one. So it opens with... I did like the effect where... So one ship is chasing the other one, and then he shoots something.
Like a wormhole. He shoots a wormhole, and then it closes behind him.
It closes behind him, and the other one's like, damn it.
No. All right. That was pretty cool.
Like I said, spoiler episode.
Yeah. So he was. But
I want to talk about the premise of the movie right away. What the overall premise is, which you really don't figure out the whole thing until the very end.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They don't even give up what's actually going on until the very end of the movie.
Ultimately, to the very, very end.
Which is a really fucking strange way to tell a story.
It's a strange way to make a movie. You know what it is? They're not trying to tell a story. They're trying to set up more movies is what they're trying.
Well, yeah, but now I don't want to see Iron Predator, the movie.
Oh, my God. So, the whole movie is apparently these two spaceships that were seen in the beginning.
Yeah.
One of them is a Predator traitor who...
who's gone rogue. Who's actually here to help the human race.
He's like an environmentalist who... ties himself to a tree before it gets cut down, or he's trying to stop the white-tailed deer from being killed by hunters by dressing up as a deer and then, like, shooting people or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the whole thing. And then he's he has some sort of device that they're looking for that is apparently going to help
the
humans.
The Stargazer Project.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And he has a device and they're trying to... Okay, anyway. And then meanwhile, there's an agency that's going around that they've known about these Predator sightings, and apparently there's multiple Predator sightings.
Well, because they keep alluding to what,
83? They keep saying 87 and 97.
Okay.
I'm assuming 87 is in reference to L.A., Danny Glover. The movie came out in 1990, but maybe it took place in 1997. Like, it's been a while. I want to rewatch it now. It's been a while since I've seen it. And the one thing I remember about Predator 2 besides Danny Glover, mm-hmm. is how, and I'm always impressed when a movie does this well, how sweaty and grimy the whole movie is.
Oh, dude, no, everybody. It seriously, it looks like, I mean, if they are in New York City, it is the dead of summer.
It's LA, but it's a heat wave in LA.
I was about to say, and somehow it's even hot at night.
It's hot. It's always hot, yes. Everyone's sweating all the time. It's great. I love it. Gary Busey's in it. That's another callback. We'll talk about that in a second. So the, in this one, the Predator's running away from a bigger predator.
And a super predator.
Because it turns out, this whole time, when they're taking spines...
They're actually
of all these tough animals...
Yeah, they're actually taking the spinal fluid...
To get the DNAs.
To get the DNAs so they can augment themselves and become the Ultimo Predator.
Which is why they find some human DNA in the genome of the predator they got there on the slab. Which is the one that got away in the beginning. Okay, yeah. So this predator, back to this predator.
Which is the rogue one.
The rogue one, the traitor predator, who's there to help the humans.
But kills everybody.
Why? Go on! True.
But kills everybody.
It makes no sense whatsoever. Immediately. Even
like
even this.
Wakes up and is like, you know what? Humans, you're all going to
die. You're going to die. Horrible deaths.
Except for you, Olivia Munn, because you're hot and naked and afraid.
No, also, most of the scientists lived.
Did they?
Yeah, they show him at the end when Jake Busey's like, go stop him, don't let him out. And all the scientists are behind him because they're all unarmed.
Yeah. But he's not really a predator, Chris. He's more of a bass fisherman.
Oh, that was really funny. So the humor of the movie is good.
Dude, when Olivia Munn called the predator a bass fisherman, immediately in my head, a movie poster comes up. The bass fisherman.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
He's got the hat. With all the bait on it.
And Arnold's looks, one of the fish.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So great.
I'm going to get that. Yeah. Get that Arnold fish. Mm-hmm. And then the follow-up where he's like, well, we already took a vote. And Predator sounds cooler, right, guys? And everyone off screen is like, yes. He says,
fuck yeah.
And he goes, fuck yeah.
Dude, seriously.
Sterling K. Brown's great in this movie.
Yeah. Almost every word that comes out of his mouth is fuck or motherfuck.
Every other word.
He's very aggro about it, and it makes for really great character.
He's really funny. He plays it well. It's a good dialogue. I like that. Sterling K. Brown's great. Definitely a good bad guy.
Yeah.
But even before the lab scene where the Predator starts, the bass fisherman starts killing everyone, as soon as the crash lands, right? So it crash lands over our hero, Chad McKenna?
Yes.
That's his first name? And Boyd Holbrook.
Yes.
Who was...
Quinn McKenna.
Who was a one-armed robo guy in Logan.
Yes. And he was... Oh, what else?
He's also been in a couple other things recently.
Been in a bunch of stuff recently.
He's been popping up lately. He's one of these guys that are pushing down our throats. Like, how about this bland white guy?
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. Where did they turn out? Some poor fucking factory.
Yes, they did. Actually, they do, Chris. The factory's called New York City.
Yeah, sure. The lead character in this movie was supposed to be played by Benicio Del Toro. I wonder how much the script has changed since it went from Benicio Del Toro dropping out because of scheduling conflicts.
To Boyd Holbrook.
And anyway. So... He's a sniper, killing dudes from a distance, and the Predator ship crashes right above him. So he's pretty much first contact with the Predator ship.
Yeah.
The bass fisherman ship.
Yes, the bass fisher ship.
But he has, like, two other dudes with him, right? It's part of his team.
Uh-huh.
And he finds one of them, but as they're running around getting towards the ship, when they get there, and the Predator kind of reveals itself.
They hear his voice.
They hear their own voices that records back to him.
The old school.
The old school, that's what the Predator does. Yeah. I guess to freak him out, maybe? And then the third dude, like, drops from a tree all fucked up, and he's skinned, and it's like the old...
He is
this
dead.
Is how the Predator does his things. This is how he collects his kills.
Yeah.
So how does this Predator go from... putting aside the whole he's here apparently to help people, deliver some sort of advice.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that yet. So putting that aside, this Predator, he crash lands. It's a crazy crash in. He just escaped for his life from somebody trying to shoot him down.
Immediately he has the bloodlust.
Immediately he goes to ritual killing.
Yeah, he's got the bloodlust, Chris.
It's not even like, I gotta get out of here, I gotta make sure this thing's...
No, it's like,
I'm gonna kill it, I'm gonna hang it upside down, I'm gonna skin it, I'm gonna do all the things I need to do.
Yeah, right now. He's gotta get his fix. They're hooked on that shit like drugs, man.
So it's bad when the movie starts.
Yeah.
And you run into... I'm not even a guy who's like a logic guy with movies, where it's like, this wouldn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. When he did that, I was like, why would he? Why did he go through all of that? Is he trying to freak him out? What's he doing?
Yes.
He's
no.
Such,
it's
he's a, such a superior fighter. He just.
It's a throwback, Chris.
It is a silly throwback.
They do that a couple times.
I hate movie throwbacks.
They straight up say, get to the chopper. Yep. They say, get to the choppers. To the choppers. And he's talking about motorcycles.
It's Gervonta Rhodes telling his crew to get to the choppers.
Although even
it's cute, but also it takes it out of the moment. It takes it out. It's like, oh, it's just a movie. Yeah. It's dumb. You know, it's silly.
The crew was another fun part of the movie.
Okay, and we'll talk about that in a second. The Loonies.
The Loonies. They were fun.
Group two, whatever they were called. We'll talk about that in a second. And then callback to also like get to the choppers. Olivia Munn when the bass fisherman predator is strapped to the table.
The bass fisherman.
And it looks she's a biologist and she gets really close to its face and says, "You are one beautiful motherfucker."
Yeah.
That's
one ugly motherfucker.
So that was another one.
Well, he is. Like, I mean, he's a crab face vagina monster.
Yeah. He's ugly. But and beautiful, I guess. Mm-hmm. But still, I was like, yeah, so just.
There was lots of stuff like that that was really dumb.
I'm trying to remember the ones. So anyway, it shows up. Ritual killing. Homeboy Boyd Holbrook McKenna steals pieces of its helmet and its gauntlet.
To send to his Asperger's kid.
He sends it to a P.O. box, but the P.O. box is unpaid.
So the post office
drops it off at the house of his estranged wife and Asperger's kid.
And the Asperger's kid's super smart, so he can crack the
code. So he opens it up and immediately starts playing with the alien technology like it's some sort of game, which then keys off to main predator, who then finds his way to Earth, tracks his way to Earth. Oh, this is what I'm looking for. So he's tracking everything, so that's not all that happens. A lot of action. At least the movie is like pretty relentless in terms of action and plot. It's only, this is a fun fact. I don't understand why we're sticking to this. It's dumb, but it's fun. Predators in 2010 and The Predator are all, I believe, an hour and 47 minutes. And then Predator 2 is an hour and 48 minutes. Something like that.
Weird.
They're all for some reason like we're sticking to this definitive time.
That is strange.
It's very strange. So
there's no Christmas in this movie, Chris.
No Christmas. Replaced with Halloween.
Halloween. Why?
Shane Black felt the need to finally break a convention for himself, his own personal convention of ending.
Oh, what, of making good movies and putting Christmas in them?
Yeah.
He should go back to putting Christmas in movies and making them good
and then making them better. he did throw in a good old "Who taught you math?" joke. He's always someone always fucks up and always like, "Who taught you math?" That's a good old Shane Blackism. So the alien kid, Asperger's kid, is playing with alien tech. McKenna gets roped up by the government after they had the whole thing with the ball, and he makes himself invisible and he swallows it, but then it comes back way later. I felt like that ball thing was going to come way more into play after all that. And
yeah,
it never did.
Nope. It only
when
it's a good thing he didn't tell Olivia Munn where it came from, because then she wouldn't have been able to use it in the final scene.
How does she use it in the final scene?
Remember, she comes out, she jumps off the fucking top of the mountain.
That's
and
right.
Uncloaks and it's like, wow.
That's right. Well, don't say it's only used when it's like plot, when the plot needs for a character to be somewhere
invisible
without explaining how they got there. Oh, no, now we'll just give this fucking ball to Snooper.
That he swallowed and then pooped out later.
But like an hour later into the movie, like, oh yeah, I forgot about that fucking ball. Yeah. It would have been funny if it like just turned on automatically inside his guts.
Yeah, it would have. He's like, and I'm invisible.
But would have just made his guts invisible inside him? And if so, would he have known?
I don't know. In which case, would it have mattered?
Would it have even happened if that particular tree fell in that forest? Did it make it sound? Did it poop in his pants? The kid. Asperger's kid.
Asperger's.
Another thing that I was like, I guess it's just to prove how Asperger's-y he is. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really come back as a one-to-one. I thought it would come back as a much more of a one-to-one thing. The one scene of him in school, and he's in the chess club, and some bullies pull the fire alarm, and then they knock over all the pieces, and then he puts all the pieces on the chessboard. Like, six different games have been playing, and you only see him, like, looking at one game. The bullies knock over all the pieces when the room is empty except for him. He puts all the pieces back exactly. We presume exactly. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking later, so there's going to be a scene where
puts everything back exactly.
He has to, like, or he sees a bunch of patterns, he has to remember them exactly, and then, like, re-input them somewhere, but no, he doesn't.
Nope.
I guess there's patterns in how he can read the alien technology at the very end.
Probably.
Because he can do easily. The translator scene.
He cracks the code.
The translator scene.
I will give you time advantage.
That's encapsulation of the entire movie.
What's a time advantage? Yeah, is that a head start?
Is that a head start? I thought it's the entire movie. I thought it was really dumb, but also kind of fun at the same time.
And that was this the movie, voice, Chris.
Yeah, that's the movie.
This movie was really dumb.
Really dumb, but also pretty
fun. But kind of fun at the same time.
When it was like when they introduced the translator to the big screen, yeah. And we already see in the movie when the predator, the real predator, who's still, I guess, a bass fisher.
Yeah.
He's he talks, and then on the screen it comes up in their language, and then it translates to English for us, so yeah. We know what they're saying. We know what he's saying. I thought when they came up with the screen, the translator screen, like the translator's, oh, that's it's gonna do. They go, it'll come up, and then they can read it. Motherfucker, they put a voice thing on it.
Yeah, they did.
And it was a very charismatic dude being like, I just went to one. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, why did they put this voice? So silly. But then, yes, and then he says, I will give you
time advantage.
First, he says, I sense there's like one warrior among you, which I thought was really dumb. Uh-huh. That was dumb.
He will be your leader.
And then it was also dumb. He'll be
your leader. And my prize.
And he even drops the name
McKenna.
But he says the full name.
Does he?
I think he says Chad McKenna. Or Quinn McKenna. He says the guy's full name. Which is why everyone's like, well, it's him. It's obviously him. I don't think he just says McKenna. I think he says his full name. But then later he's actually going after the kid, Rory. Yeah. Because he's Asperger's-y and he wants an Asperger's evolutionary gene. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's going to cut off his head and take out his spinal juices.
It's going to be awesome.
Which, why didn't you just do it on the spot? He had him.
Seriously, could have.
No, right, I'm going to throw him in a pod. So, I thought that was a perfect moment. Time advantage, very right funny.
Yeah.
Translator, I get it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But then they put the voice on. It's like, so so, yes, McKenna gets caught up. Garmin takes him. He swallows the circle thing, so his guts are invisible inside him the whole time, but we don't know that. And then he gets thrown on the bus. And that's where we get the Looney Tunes crew, who, that's like, I feel like a callback to, you know, Predator, and even Predators.
Yeah.
It's all about having groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then, here's where I feel like they fucked up with this. It took too long to get to this part. It's all about that group getting picked off one by one.
Yeah.
Getting whittled down to the survivors.
Yeah.
They didn't start dying until, like, the end, until pretty much, like,
the final battle. Yeah. And even then, the last two guys died at the very last moment that they possibly could. I mean, it was fucking light outside. They'd survived the night, Chris.
Eventually, it's a light. I read online, I don't know, I got the extra fact checking, I guess. I originally thought that the reshoots that they did was because they shot everything during the daytime at the end. And they were like, oh, this doesn't work. We have to reshoot it for night. But then I saw a thing online recently that said, no, they actually shot everything and it was too dark and they couldn't see shit. Mm. So that they'll go back while still shooting at night. They had to literally lighten up the conspiracy
thing.
Wow, that's possible. While the action was fun, it was edited in sort of a way to be like, I don't know. Like, it could have been cleaner edit. It could have been a little more John Wick, a little less Michael Bay. More John Wick, less Armageddon.
Chris, it could have been a lot of things.
I'm just saying in terms of letting us see, like, when the main predator shoots out that long cable and the three dudes are lined up perfectly.
And then their heads just disappear.
It's like, boop, boop, boop. You know, like, that should have been, like, a really great little moment. Yeah. But instead, it was like, I get a sense of what happened. Like, you see the three heads rolling on the floor. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get the same visceral. But there were still some moments when
their
faces. And...
and when that dude ends up fucking skinned in the first scene, hanging from the tree.
Okay, actually, that reminds me. So there was a brilliant moment. The first time... when you first see the spaceships in the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh yeah, this is a big budget movie. I forgot that's supposed to be a big budget thing. Yeah. That's going to be cool at least. Then the first time in the movie where I thought, okay, maybe this will have some stuff that's going to be memorable. This is great, because I remember this. So they have that guy. He's hung up. He's skinned, right? And I don't know how it happens, but McKenna, he's holding like a weapon in his hand, or a mask or shield or something. And he accidentally shoots off something at the predator. And it like nicks him and it knocks him on the ground. And then it cuts the dude's body clean in half, right?
Yeah.
And then we get not one, but at least two long close-up shots of the torso and its guts. Like, very slowly.
Well,
I thought the guts were going to eventually, like, swap out.
We saw that with...
later,
Homeboy.
Keegan-Michael Key's guts are later.
Yeah.
But not as graphic as, like, this long shot of just a torso, just guts.
Splat.
And then the blood. I was waiting for the splat. It never did splat. But the blood was dripping down on the predator, who was still...
Yeah, who was sitting...
invisible.
And then his eyes popped open.
Yes. Yeah. So apparently his head was sideways and his green eyes popped open in the red, the thick red blood. I was like, that's a hysterical moment, and it's a really crazy look, and it's really funny. And maybe this movie will have some redeeming quality. So it does have things like that, you know?
Yeah. The movie does have moments of pure genius.
Moments, ideas, funny lines of dialogue, some good jokes here and
there.
As a whole, I don't know.
What a stinking pile of shit.
When we get to the end, I think we'll do a Predators ranking at the very end of the episode. We'll rank all of them. Mm-hmm. And we're going to leave out anything involving xenomorphs.
Okay.
Predators only is what we're talking about when we get to the end. So keep that in the back of your mind. So I thought that was a fun moment. But anyway, so McKenna, he's with the group. We got Gervonta Rhodes from Moonlight.
Yep.
He's the old, he's like the kind of the ringleader. He's the calmest one of them all.
Of sorts, even though, you know, he tried to blow his own brains out.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's attempted suicide amongst friends. I didn't understand the relationship fully. Maybe you can help me with this. So Thomas Jane is the Tourette's guy.
Yeah, apparently, and Keegan-Michael Key.
And Keegan-Michael Key is the lone survivor of...
something
of
awful.
Some sort of explosion or something. Yeah. So they became friends sitting next to each other at like group therapy or something?
I'm not sure. I think it was...
But I think there was like an allusion to them being more than friends, if you know what I'm saying? Nudge.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, somehow they had gotten very close and almost inseparable.
Very close. But
at the same time, you know, very... you know, like an old married couple. They're at each other's throats the whole time. But deep down, you knew that there was some sort of connection.
They're there for each other. That was the thing. Yes, exactly. So you got those guys. You got the Spanish religion dude.
Mm-hmm.
Religious dude.
Yep.
And then you got...
Theon Greyjoy.
Who at first I was like, is he doing a is he doing a rednecky southern thing? But then later it sounded like, no, he's sticking with his... and then they call him Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, he's just sticking with his... So yeah, I was like, it's fucking...
Theon Greyjoy.
What's Game of Thrones going on this bus? Are we missing someone? I feel like we're missing one person. Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah, Boyd Holbrook.
And that he's the one that's added to the group. So that rounds out the group. They pull the old fugitive when the Predator, when the original Predator breaks out of the lab and kills a whole bunch of people, even though he's there to save people, and then runs out of there.
And Olivia Munn's chasing him with a tranquilizer gun.
And Olivia Munn's chasing him with a tranquilizer gun. They... commandeer their bus, which is so they're there for therapy, but they're also
criminals. They were on the way to the farm.
To the farm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were on their armed guard.
Yeah, yeah. They were being taken to an open field to be shot and buried.
Oh man, so they right, we gotta get out of here. So they took over the bus.
Yeah,
and end up hooking up with. Their paths cross with Olivia Munn as they're trying to chase on this Predator thing. Predator thing gets away, obviously. And then they're like, oh, she shoots herself in the foot with a train gun. So like, we can't just leave her here. So they take her to a seedy motel.
Mm-hmm. Where they don't rape her.
Where more weird jokes happen about how they're creepy about it. But they're not raping her, but they're still being creeps.
Yeah, they're being weirdo creeps, but not in a rapey way.
They're trying not to be creeps, but they're being creepy.
Which makes them be creepy.
It's pretty funny. And then the whole Tourette's thing. They could have just said he has Tourette's. They never explained he has Tourette's.
No, they didn't.
When he's like, eat your pussy.
And the whole...
And
yeah,
she's
but,
like, what did you say? And she's like, how dare you say that to me? And she's all offended by it.
The whole scene where she grabs the gun and pulls the trigger. And everyone's like, oh.
That was funny.
And King Michael Key's like, I told you.
It's like, I should have bet you pulled the trigger. That was a funny scene.
It was. It was a great scene.
The scene where they're introduced to Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
She's at the dog park.
Yep.
That was clearly where Shane Black's... registered sexual offender attempted having sex with a 14-year-old homeboy. That's the scene that got cut.
Yep.
It's very awkwardly, these people walk up to her and she's in the middle of a, like...
dog park or whatever,
in the middle of a dog park and, like, in the middle of talking to someone because she turns around like, what? It's like, we need you to come with us. And then the scene just ends. Like, that was a 15-second character introduction. That was nothing, you know. Obviously, that's what they...
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, dude, you got... cut out. So Shane Black has since issued a full throated apology about all of it, and
good for him.
You know, he's trying to make amends, and yeah, it's ridiculous. So anyway, Olivia Munn, I like how her character was. She's a biologist, but she's kind of a badass running around.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's like taking control and trying to.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, she.
They don't just hand her the kid back to protect the kid. She's like, no, man, I need the gun too, so I can shoot shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also protect the kid too, but also shoot the shit. Mm-hmm. Shoot the shit. Gervonta Rhodes got to bond with the kid.
A little bit.
Smoking cigarettes next to him the entire time.
Yep. Like, and trying not to blow the smoke in his face.
It's like, that's a really funny thing. It's like, let's have the one character really connect sitting there being the cigarette smoker of the bunch. And then when they compile all their things there at the end, it's like a totem for all the people that died. It's
his
like,
pack of his bad habit.
His pack of cigarettes. Yes. Yeah, it's very very silly, funny, silly, dumb, all of it. That's this movie. That's this movie in a nutshell.
Yeah.
All this movie is this movie in a nutshell. This movie is this movie silly. In a nutshell.
It is very silly and dumb.
Jake Busey's character is supposed to be. I read this, but it makes sense. His character has the same last name as Gary Busey's character in Predator 2.
Okay, there we go.
So that he's the son of that character.
Okay, cool.
That's why I wanted to mention that. And then we got the group. They're in the bus. They're running around. And then they're like, "We gotta go. We gotta help." Oh, you know why? Because then they figure out.
Oh yeah, they figure out what the Predator's there for.
What it wants.
And then he realizes
I know where it is,
and then that's the whole rest of the movie right there.
Whole rest of the movie is them trying to
save his son,
and then everyone pretty much arrives at the same place at the same time.
Big fight scene at the end, blah blah blah, yada yada yada. Sterling K. whatever is all quippy and motherfucker this and motherfucker that.
Who kidnaps? Does the Predator keep kidnap the kid?
Yeah, Predator gets the kid at the end.
Takes him to the spaceship.
Yep.
So they're like, we gotta go back to the spaceship to get the kid. And that's where the final fight scene happens at the spaceship. So I came around the whole time. It's like, I'm a big old dickhead.
Mm. I say motherfucker a lot.
But I'm fun about it.
And he is fun about it, and he's funny.
He is funny. He's fun and funny. Olivia Munn, she ends up getting kidnapped too at one point, right? Yeah, she's like tied down to a chair. They had to save her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's when... Because the Sterling K. Brown crew is all about cleaning up their mess afterwards.
Trying to clean up the mess. No. Yes, they're all illicit about it. I can't remember how everyone dies. How does Trevante Rose's character die?
At the end, when they're... after Big Predator kills Little Predator, and Big Predator's on the ship trying to get away.
That's right. He kills them by ripping his head off. And actually, isn't that in the Red Band trailer?
I think so. Anyway.
Isn't that ridiculous that they put that
so
in the
after,
trailer?
So the kid's inside the spaceship, and it's like, Dad, a force field's coming online. And he realizes that there's like space in between. So Dad goes
on the ship. Yeah, yes.
Dad goes below. Hispanic dude gets his legs cut off.
Which was funny. he didn't jump up or down. He didn't choose.
Yeah, and
got his legs cut off.
Trevante,
and then his torso just fell off because they were all the way up in the sky. Yep. Trevante jumps up. He's on,
and then he decides to put the final kick in the engine, and he jumps into the engine to cause the spaceship to crash.
Yes, so it doesn't escape to outer space with the kid.
Yes,
and with
Boyd Holbrook.
With Boyd Holbrook trapped inside. There he goes. That's right. So Hispanic dude killed by the shield and gravity.
Yeah.
Around the roads, suicides himself. Successfully suicides himself. There you go. It all comes back around. And then McKenna's inside. He gets inside the ship. They crash land that thing. And then they kill the Predator. That's when you said, we got Olivia Munn. She's all cloaked up. Jumps out of nowhere.
Yep.
Don't they just shoot him in the head?
I'm trying to think.
A gun a bunch of times from like super close range. Plop, 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 plop.
No,
like five times.
Something
silly like that. And then they set that fire on fire too.
Because the fire scene was in the forest, and Thomas Jane got treed.
That was fun.
And homeboy got stomached.
Did he have a grenade with him when he jumped on him? I thought he was gonna blow himself up. I thought he was suicide bomb himself. But then, anyway, so he jumps on him, and he's, like, stabbing him while they're both on fire. And then he just throws Thomas Jane off him and gets stabbed in the tree. So this is why I thought it was sort of the gay thing.
Because they're at each other, and then they pull out the guns, and they shot each other.
So he gets thrown to a tree, and he gets impaled on it. So he's got the branch sticking out of him.
Yeah.
He's up in the air. Keegan-Michael Key's character, he runs up, does something, and then he gets, like, blasted in the stomach, lands against a tree, so he has his guts coming out. So he's got a hole in him. One's sticking out, one's got a hole, and then they're looking at each other. I'm like, obviously, so one's the top, one's the bottom.
Perhaps.
Like, maybe he's a power bomb, for all I know. He's very vulgar. And then they pull out the guns. They look at each other wordlessly, essentially, pull out their guns, look at each other right in the eyes, and they shoot each other from a distance. And people in the theater laughed because it's a funny moment.
It is.
And I think it's supposed to
be funny. It's oddly funny.
It's like sentimental, but also funny. I think it's supposed to be funny.
I hope so.
Because how can you not?
No, seriously, how can you not laugh at that?
So it was very ridiculous. So that's how they die. Jurandir runs up. He throws up who we miss. Oh, and then way earlier, while he's like snipering, one of the first guys to die is Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Theon Greyjoy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up.
Yeah, he does.
Gets his arm. No.
Yeah.
Shoots off the flare and then dies.
Mm-hmm.
Which then leaves McKenna Kid.
Yeah.
Olivia Munn.
Predator. Big Predator.
When does Sully came around?
I'm not sure if he does.
Does he even die?
I'm not sure if he does.
So I haven't seen a movie 2 days ago.
No.
And then Predator, so then they, don't they like, they shoot him in the head?
End he gets shot in the head. He loses an arm in the...
The force field.
The force field comes back up.
The kid turns on, the bloop turns on
so
the force field.
He loses an arm that way.
Arm up. Okay.
There's some sort of
cool moment.
Explosion or something.
Because his arm, McKenna picks up his big floppy arm in a very gross moment.
You're right. And then shoots the fucking launcher thing and it blows him up. And then he's basically like, he's a Miyake stump.
Yeah, he's all blown up.
Yeah, he's basically a stumpy.
He's all blown up. I thought they were going to do another callback then and have him like blow himself up.
Yeah,
he has his arm. It's really funny how giant his arm is. Yeah. But he's an 11-foot predator. His arm compared to McKenna, and then his hands all floppy, so it's really gross. I imagine like on that giant gross dead fish, but with a weapon on it. So that's how he gets
him. Or a giant flaccid penis.
I knew he could talk. I mean, a giant one, though.
Yeah.
Like two of my arms. Extended. Fucked up.
The Mr. Ed.
Ugh. Hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it. Okay.
And then we get to the very, very end.
Oh, talk about that. Yeah, the very, very end of the second. Definitely want to talk about that. Sorry, come on, just a second. The thing I liked and didn't like, the score. They used, obviously inspired, how can it not be, Alan Silvestri's original theme, using all that stuff. Pretty much every time there was a helicopter on screen, which is often, it would go,
every time.
Yeah, so good. So good. And I love that. But then they also did this. I know it was on purpose. I understand why. I just think it's out of fashion for a reason and will never come back in fashion, or it's a tricky thing to do. But there were several moments when, like, especially when the group did something, like with those two weird dog things.
Mm-hmm.
And, the predator dogs. And, like, one of them, they just, like, lobotomized it and it was just following them around the whole time. But so weird. Like, we could have done without the predator dogs.
Completely.
Easily done without those dumb things. The music would swell and we get these horns. It's like a really dumb heroic moment. It's like the worst parts of the Pacific Rim score.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that stuff. I just feel like, you know, I know what it's a callback to, but...
You get it. It's just not cool.
I don't think it's cool anymore. And it's hard to say when it will be cool again. That's the thing, though, when George
the next
Lucas...
The next time it's done right, Chris. That's when it'll be...
It's all right. It's when it's cool again. That's the thing. So George Lucas, when he did Star Wars, symphonic music... Movie scores were out.
Yeah.
Out of fashion.
They brought him back.
They were like, we want
Johnny Wills.
Electronic or something. He's like, no, I know this guy. He's going to make it music. And then the rest is his story, as they say.
Yeah.
So to get to the end. Is it the same group, the Sterling K. Brown group, even though he's... is he with them at the end? Or is he gone?
He's got to be gone.
He's gone. But McKenna shows up in full...
Dress military blues, garb.
All medals and everything.
Kids working there.
But here's one thing. Even I, as a civilian, was like, this isn't correct. His hair was way too shaggy under that. He shows up in full garb, and then his hair, it's sticking out over his ears.
Uh-huh.
I was like, he would fucking clean that up. I understand if he's out in the field, it gets long. Mm-mm, he wouldn't show up like that. Anyway. Even a dumb civilian like me knows that.
And there's like a space coffin in the room, Chris.
Yes, it's a coffin. It's very specifically shaped coffin, like a person.
Yeah, and then this thing pops out and it latches onto this dude's arm, and all of a sudden we have the Iron Predator.
Iron Predator, some sort of predator suit.
But the predator killer.
The kid's using, so the kid now works for them because he's an Asperger's genius, and he's reading the readout, the data from the coffin thing, which is the thing that was transported and that they were trying, the predator.
The MacGuffin.
The predator traitor, yes, the MacGuffin in the movie, the traitor's trying to get the humans. To save the humans, even though he's killing the humans at the exact same time.
This is, and we don't find out any of this until this point.
Yes,
by the way,
the last 5 minutes of the movie is like, what? This is all. This is what the whole movie's really, truly been about. I mean, halfway through the movie, the big predator calls the other one. He's communicating back to home base, and he calls him a traitor and all this and that. So we get some ideas, but
still,
we find out about this whole MacGuffin thing way towards the end. And it's shaped like a prison. Obviously, he was supposed to be some sort of prison. It's shaped like the thing that comes out is just an item.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be in a coffin.
Nope.
In a casket. In like a space casket.
It didn't have to be dripping from the space oil.
Which also, it's dripping with space oil. Also, Drew, I don't know if you noticed this, made me groan laugh inside. It's from an alien spaceship. It's an alien.
But it says Pod 3.
You noticed that it said Pod 3.
I did. Of course. How could you not?
Pod 3 in English. Plain English. It said Pod 3 on his alien spacecraft.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So the casket opens and it's a thing that then latches onto a person and then expands Iron Man nanotech Salyas. And it looks like a predator, but it's an Iron Predator. It's got instead of two guns, it's got 40 guns. Yeah. And it's a predator killer. And I kind of want to see this. People in this thing, and McKenna's it's my new suit. I'm I don't want to see this guy wearing this
the
suit.
The Iron Predator.
This sounds so dumb. Okay. Rumor Central. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in talks to do a cameo.
Oh, and he was in the. That was going to be in. He's going to be in Pod 3.
Not confirmed. But that's the idea. He would have in Pod 3. What's the thing that would have scared the Predators the most? You know, let's design this thing after Dutch, the legendary human that took him down in Guatemala. But he was it's too small. Apparently, when he turned it down, it was too small of a thing. We can't really work it out, blah, blah. They really couldn't come to eye to eye. So maybe that was it. He's I don't want to do that kind of cameo. It's dumb.
Yeah.
You saw what it was. He was you know what that was? It's a dumb idea. And they're shit, we already built a casket.
And we already put Pod 3 on it.
And we wrote Pod 3 on it. She likes, you wrote Pod 3 on it? We're shooting tomorrow. God damn. Put a piece of duct tape on it. Can't throw Pod 3 on it.
Yep.
So it's a Predator armor directed by Shane Black. On Black. It says On Black, directed by Shane Black. So as the movie was ending, I was thinking to myself as it was ending, where do I rank this amongst Predator sequels? Alright. Although I say that, apparently my brother likes Predator 2 more than the first one. Anyway. Different structure.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think he's just a big Danny Glover fan.
It's okay. On. Some people are allowed to be wrong.
And Bill Paxton's great in it, too.
He is.
The scene where he's gets killed in the subway.
But it's not Predator.
20-year-old spoiler alert. He gets killed in the subway.
It's not crazy crab-faced alien in jungle.
It's not Predator, which is great. Which is, almost the entire movie, except for the final fight, takes place during the day. You don't. It's so good. I ain't got time to bleed. I'm down in Mexico. I don't got time to bleed in Mexico. I'm the governor of Minnesota. Went to the solar plexus, McMahon.
10,000 lakes.
Okay. I was thinking personally, Drew Anderson, where you would put this. As the movie was ending, he was you know what? I think I like this movie a little more than Predators. Just because at least they tried bringing some new stuff to it. Predators was okay. It just felt way too rehashy. Right? Predator, this is for me, and then the Predator, I felt at least they're trying to build and do something new. I can appreciate that, plus the Shane Black gives them his work for me, so I like it more, but I don't think I like it more than Predator 2. I need to rewatch Predator 2. But Predator 2 is so wild and dirty and grimy and violent.
Predator obviously is the best.
Well, obviously, that's why.
And then Predator 2, because it's Predator 2. And for me, it all depends. I think this is on the same level for me as Predators, where Predators was trying to make a serious, this thing's a killer, you don't see it, it's the the ultimate Predator. It was trying to be that type of Predator movie.
And you're on their game reserve. Uh-huh,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it tried to be that type of Predator movie. Opposed to this one, which is definitely more. It looks like Shane Black finally got to do his Predator movie and fucked it up.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, he fucked it up.
Yeah, I think so.
If he hadn't have fucked it up, it could have been the best one of them all.
Yeah.
But he fucked it up. So, it has the Shane Black stuff that I miss from I mean, because Predators had none of... There was no funny ha-ha. There was no funny nothing. Mm-mm. It was just dour and fucked up.
Yeah.
And this is a hard, gritty movie.
It was dour and fucked up Predators. And then also, I didn't like how they... So they did their own callbacks to talking about the first Predator.
Yeah.
But it was weird how they used it as, like, movie intel. He's like, I remember hearing about this guy, and I read his file, and I'm going to do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
Like, why, Adrian Brody? Yep. At least he got jacked. Mm-hmm. And then the whole subplot with... Topher Grace's character being some sort of sadistic doctor guy, but the whole movie's like, why is this guy? He's supposed to be a bunch of killers. Obviously, he's a crazy doctor killer.
Some sort of killer.
So dumb. And then instead of with the Predator, he was like trying to needle people or knife them. So that had its own set of problems. Yes, its own. But then things were good. But anyway. So this one, jokey, fun, good time, but also dumb and silly.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what it looks like to see a Predator stomp around in an elementary school. It's like, why do you want to take something so fantastic and put it something so like bland?
Yeah, so I mean for me on the same level where they tried to go for a certain type of Predator movie and failed miserably.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it at failed miserably. I'd put it at soft fail. You'd put it at fail miserable fail.
It's a hard fail.
Hard fail. You go hard fail. Mm-hmm. I go soft fail. I think we just stumbled on a new fail.
I go new
ranking system.
I'm going hard fail.
Hard fail versus soft fail, but we both agree though.
Fail.
We're
it's a fail.
We're agreement.
I mean, and so does Rotten Tomatoes agrees with us, Chris. 34%, average rating 5.1.
Mm.
Audience score is 51%, average rating 3.1 out of 5.
Yeah, it's got a cinema score of a C, which means more than one person walking out of the theater was like, no. Well, when we were walking out, there were at least two people walking out right behind us. One guy was like, hey, it was not bad, it was all right. And the other guy was like, he was terrible. Yeah, Spanish accent.
So the Predator has violence and quips to spare.
It does, yes.
But its chaotically hollow action adds up to another missed opportunity for a franchise increasingly defined by disappointment.
Yeah, what's happened? Law of diminishing returns. Mm, you know, they all can't be Fast and Furiouses and what's the other Mission Impossibles?
No.
That's the thing, though. So the original Predator, though, if you watch this movie, it's not like it's that well-defined character-wise.
No, it's just, it's this small little movie about a group of dudes mm-hmm. dying in a jungle.
That's the thing, though. So they paint them all with a quick brush stroke. They're all hyper-masculine dudes. Like, they're mercs.
This guy's,
they're essentially mercs.
This guy does this guy does that, and now he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it's just like, one guy chews tobacco, one guy tells jokes, and one guy is silent, and then the rest of them just walk around, and they're a bunch of badasses, and then they start dying one by one, which is very important. Bill Duke shaves with sweat, weirdo. And then Carl Weathers is the one who's like, he's the, and then Dutch is like the leader. Such broad strokes. Dutch is the leader. Carl Weathers is the office guy. Yeah. Former Mercury, well, now office guy. And then they just start dying one by one, and you're only invested in their very simple plot, which is...
Survival.
We got dropped into a meat grinder.
And now you have to get out.
And then, so you cooked up a story and dropped us into a meat grinder. And then they gotta get to the extraction point.
That's
it. Get to the extraction point. It's so simple. And then it's just, you know, well done. It's just a well done movie. And then after that, the stories are getting more bigger and fantastic.
Well, it's because they start exploring the different sides. They're like, well, Predator's an alien.
Yeah.
And he's got advanced technology. Let's see where that brings us.
So Glover finds a spaceship at the end of Predator 2. Predators, this old game reserve thing. This one is now the whole Predators are hybridizing themselves.
And then we can mix them with
those are getting even bigger.
And then we can mix them with xenomorphs and have them fight.
Yeah, I don't know. let aliens just be its own disappointing franchise over there. And Predator can be a disappointing franchise over here.
No, they have to combine and be their own disappointing franchise.
They do have their own combined disappointing franchise. God damn it, why are they doing this? Why? All right, so we both agree on fail. You say hard fail, I say soft fail, but we both are like,
no.
Sorry, Shane.
No. Did not work out well for you, bud.
I'm sorry, Shane.
I had high hopes.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Our hopes were being dashed as development of it.
Well,
came
on.
We learned more stuff. About
it was like, oh.
As the news came out, so.
It's a lot like Venom, where it's just like, oh. It's like, Venom. Starts off, great. Tom Hardy, Venom. Mm-hmm. Those two things sound so awesome when you put them together.
And then here we go. And now it's coming.
And now it's going. And I'm just like, it's just not going to be good at all.
Definitely going to be doing a bonus spoiler episode on Venom for sure.
Like a turd in the wind, Chris.
Very person. It's describing itself. It's not good, Venom. Don't describe yourself that way. floats around like a turd. Oh, Predator. He should have been better. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Is that it? Anything else can you think of?
That's it.
I know throughout the movie, there's a few things, just like in the beginning, where Predator shows up and then just starts skinning people. Like, why is he doing this? There were a handful of things throughout the movie. I was like, what? Why? And I wish I was sort of writing down these little moments, because there's a few little dumb nitpicky moments that they are like dumb nitpicky things, but they add up over time.
Oh, yeah. You know? For a pretty awful movie. Hmm.
Sorry, Shane Black. We know you're listening. All right. Well, that's it.
That's it.
All right. There you go. What you think of the movie? Let us know. CinemaCrespity@gmail.com. We are Dunzo Bunzo.
A PFT Media production.